Billy Mazzella has joined us on Sports Byline USA. We pick up the story. If you didn't catch it at the beginning, he was falsely imprisoned for a murder he did not commit. And he was convicted in 1983 for the murder of an elderly woman, and he served 26 years in prison before having his conviction overturned. And while he was in Sing Sing, he became the prison's light heavyweight boxing champion. How did boxing come into your life while you were behind bars?
Well, for the first year, nothing happened. And then the following year, boxing came into play. And, you know, when they were having tryouts and everything, and when I tried out for the team, and the guy's name was Bob Jackson, Sergeant. He was sergeant at the time. He told me, he said, listen, if you can stay out of trouble, he said, you can get on the boxing team. I said, okay, no problem. No problem. You ain't got to worry about that. You ain't ever got to worry about me getting in trouble. That was my freedom. That was my peace. You know, that was my morals. That was my obligation. That was my responsibility. That was my discipline. Everything that I did involved around boxing because I knew that that's what could help me to survive and get through my prison term. And, you know, it did because it helped me to not only reestablish myself as a person, but it helped me to find out what I can do as a human being in terms of fighting ability and in terms of all the accomplishments that I made and from receiving 52 certificates, my bachelor's and my master's degree. It was all built around boxing.
Was it also, Dewey, a self-defensive mechanism? And what I mean by that is by able to establish yourself, especially in boxing, that it kind of sent out a message to everybody, don't mess with me, and also that I am somebody that has accomplished something.
All above. But once I got myself established with it, I ain't never had no problems. And once I made a turn to the better with my life, I ain't had to worry about anything because, you know, I wasn't the type of person that go around bully people. I wasn't the type of person that was involved with the wrong activities once I got away from my negative attitudes. And I definitely wasn't the type of person that goes around, you know, just because I could fight, you know, to do something wrong. Once I got away from all the negative activities, you know, of what prison has to offer, I turned my life around and everybody knew me as a role model and they understood what I was about. And I was about justice for everybody. You know, I didn't care who you were, you know, and that's exactly what I did for every, you know, for all the time I was locked up in Sing Sing. I went around and I helped people. Even when guys were about to get jumped, I stopped a riot. You know, so these are the different things that I have on my record that I have done while I was in the inside. So people knew, you know, what kind of person I was and how I carried myself, and that's how I lived.
I'm going to say something here because interviewing athletes over the many years that I have, I've always found that the athletes that came from the inner city, from urban environments, from difficult environments, Dewey, that if they were an athlete of note, if they, you know, were seen as somebody that had potential, the elements of the community always kind of protected them to some degree. You know what I'm saying? They're saying, hey, this is a kid that can get out of here, and so therefore we're not going to let him take the wrong path. Is it a little bit like that in prison? I don't want to be simplistic about it, but I get the feeling there's a system there that rewards that sort of thing.
Nah, no. What it was like in there was almost every man for himself. But the only difference was that it depends on what kind of people you were around. So I was more or less like a loner. You know, I didn't really socialize with a lot of people, but I knew a lot of people, you know, and that was because of my reputation. You know, I was a no-nonsense guy, and I was also the guy that, you know, that everybody knew that, you know, I was fair, very, very, very fair. And so, you know, that's how I carried myself, and that's how I lived. You know, I also was impeccable on my word because of the things that I did while I was locked. You got to remember, I was in there for over 20, altogether, I was in there for 23 years before they shipped me out of there to a medium security place. But while I was there in Sing Sing Correctional Facility, the officers gave me respect and the inmates gave me respect.
I was fortunate to have won an Emmy for a piece that I produced, a series that I produced, Dewey, called Sports Behind Bars, and it was at San Quentin. And I went in, and what it was there was a football program there, and the guard said to me, and I was looking at this one kid who was a quarterback who was pretty good, and he said, well, if you think he's good as a football player, you ought to see him as a baseball player. So they said, come back in the spring. He plays on the prison baseball team at San Quentin. So I went there, and I brought with me a scout from the New York Yankees, a good friend of mine, and he scouted him, and he said, this kid can make it in professional baseball. And I went to the San Francisco Giants, and I said, would you give this kid a tryout? Well, to make a long story short, two of the guards were also the coaches on the baseball team. They escorted him to Candlestick Park, and he put on a uniform. They let him go into the batting cage, and 6 of his 10 swings were home runs.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so when he came back, when he came back to San Quentin with his guards, I asked him, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to be able to be a professional baseball player, and the door slammed behind him. But what I will remember about the last piece in that series is that on his day of his release, I was there to follow it, and he was coming off the fourth tier, and the guys were yelling from the cells, hit one for us, you know, go become a pro ball player. And I'll never forget when he gave his guards his box with his glove and his Giants hat and everything. He jumped over a little small fence, and we froze it in the air, and he said, I'm free. That particular moment. And I say this because I want to ask you about prison sports, about the importance of it. What was it important to you? What is it to other people who are athletes?
It's our gift. It's our freedom. It's our way of expressing everything that's inside of us. You know, what I did is I used boxing to not only help me achieve my goals in life, but also to help me to feel free. You know, because like when I got out of the ring and I just, you know, and I worked out, you know, it was like, I'm free, man. I'm good. You know, I don't have to worry about nothing. Even when I get punched in the face and get punched in the rib, I'm free. It doesn't even affect me. It doesn't even bother me. When I go out and I fight in front of population, it's one of the most greatest gifts that I can have, because for them few minutes, I'm not in prison. I'm not in prison at all. I'm here in the chairs. I'm enjoying my time. I've never been knocked down, but even when I get stung, it's like, yeah, okay, let me put this back together. Let me go out here and do what I'm supposed to do. It's my freedom.
And
that's what I loved about it.
Yeah, I don't want people to think I'm being soft on all of this, because people that are in prison are there, in most cases, like, with the exception of somebody like yourself and probably others as well, for having done bad things. There's no doubt about it. But when you got out, tell me a little bit about what you wanted to do with boxing going forward, because you weren't a young teenager. You weren't a guy that was in his early 20s taking
no
on
doubt.
This sport.
No doubt. I got out and I went to a gym up in Newburgh, New York. A guy by the name of Ray Rivera, I went to his gym. It was a guy who I knew who was a civilian that came into to Sing Sing. And he told me about his gym, and I went to it when I got out. And when I got out, he accepted me with open arms. And the first thing I did was I started working with kids. And as I'm working with the kids, something inside me, you know, said, yo, I would just know what it feels like, you know, what it feels like to be a pro. You know, I did everything as an amateur. I did what I had to do. You know, I just wanted to know what it felt like to be a pro. And, you know, then a little while later, through the Innocent Project, somehow my name got out there and I got awarded the ESPY Awards for the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. And when I got up on the stage after I received the Arthur Ashe Courage Award through the ESPYs, I informed them that I would like to just have one pro fight. And it happened through Oscar De La Hoya Promotions and Bernard Hopkins. And I got my first fight on the pay-per-view with Bernard Hopkins and Chad Dawson undercard, and it was one heck of a feeling.
Yeah, stepping into that ring, you were at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Tell me about the fight.
It was interesting, you know, because when I got out there, you know, Larry Hopkins really wanted to win. He wanted to get his first professional win off of me, and I said, you're not doing that. Not today. You get somebody else. And I went 4 rounds with him, you know. And it was very good. It was a very good fight, you know. I had a chance. If I had had about another 10 seconds, I probably would have knocked him out. You know, so, but it was just a feeling just to hear people call my name, you know, Dewey, Dewey. And it was, you know, it was like, you know, wow, here it is, you know, a guy who did all his time, you know, behind the state penitentiary walls, came out, won the Arthur Ashe Coverage Award. And then, and not, you know, what makes it even more interesting was that before the fight, I received a call from the President of the United States, you know, and Barack Obama. And not only did he wish me well, he was, you know, said thank you for all the things that I have accomplished and all the work that I have done while I was, you know, been out, and wished me well on my fight, you know, before the fight. And so, you know, it was like, you know, more pressure added on to me winning, you know, and, you know, I knew I had to win.
And you did. It was a unanimous decision. You know, I ask professional athletes what they think kids see when they see pro athletes today. And I had Grant Hill tell me, well, they see the car I'm driving, they know the money I'm making, and they see the jewelry I'm wearing. What do you think kids see today when they meet Dewey Bazella?
Well, first of all, you know, I won the fight at the age of 52 years old. You know, so my thing wasn't, you know, I'm out here to try to win a world championship. I'm not, I can't be no Manny Pacquiao. I can't be no Floyd Mayweather, you know, and numerous other fighters, no Roy Jones or nothing like that. My thing was to let kids know, as well as people throughout the world, never give up. Don't let nobody tell you what you can't do. And my motto was, you know, never let fear determine who you are, and never let where you come from determine where you are going. And that was my motto. That was my motto, because people were telling me inside the penitentiary, you'll never do it. They'll never let you turn pro. And my thing was, I don't believe you. I got to find out for myself. And so when the opportunity presented itself and they gave me a chance, I ran with it, you know. And so my thing is to tell these kids, you know, and let them know, hey, hold up, wait a minute. If I can do it, and here it is, I'm over half a century years old, and you got one of the greatest gifts on your in the world on your side, and that's your youth. If I can do it, you can do it.
Obviously, you can't go through an experience like this, Dewey, without having something that makes you laugh at some point along the way. This is heavy stuff. This is serious stuff. But invariably in someone's life, there's got to be something that made you smile and laugh, or you couldn't have gone through it. What was it?
just realizing what I went through. That's what I had to laugh at, you know. Like I tell my wife, you know, if I don't find a way to laugh, then I walk around angry all day. I said, I got to laugh it off. You know, the pain, the suffering, the hurt and everything, laugh it off, you know, because the only one I hurt is myself if I keep it all inside. And it's nothing but a big raging bull coming forward, you know, with anger, hate, and hurt and pain. You know, and the only one that get hurt is the innocent people. So let it go. I laugh it off. That was my greatest, that was one of my greatest things that I had to deal with, you know, while I was in the inside.
We only have 1 minute left, Dewey, but when you do talk to kids and you tell them your message, they see you. Is there a disconnect with kids today? Are they more vulnerable to having problems than it was when you and I were growing up?
Yeah, they got more pressure. And the pressure is this thing dealing with the code of the streets, and also the ethics of how they're living, you know, dealing with the rap game, dealing with the gangs, you know, image that you know, we nowhere near had to live with that, and then all these guns that are coming out, you know. So you know, when we were growing up, you know, it was like sticks and chains, you know. It isn't like that no more. It's gang, it's nothing but different types of gangs being developed all the time. And then you got to worry about the drug game, you know. There's so many different things that they have to deal with in terms of pressure, peer pressure, that we didn't have to deal with when we were kids.
Dewey, I want to thank you very much for sharing your story. I'm glad that a wrong was righted, and you have really done something with your life. And for a person who did not take a negative attitude but a positive attitude and has turned this into a positive thing, I just want to compliment you and thank you for sharing the story with our listeners around the world on Sports Byline.
Hey, thank you very much, you know. And I want the world to know that Dewey Bazella, I want you to know I was not a goody-goody, but I was definitely not a murderer, and that's the reason why I kept fighting.
Thank you.
I would advise everybody else to do the same thing.
Dewey Bazella with us on Sports Byline. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.